This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. We thank you for joining us and count it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening. We trust the broadcast to be a blessing and a help to you. I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Father, as we bow before you, we thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for loving us and being good to us, Lord. Thank you for the benefits you bless us daily with, Lord. And God, we ask you, Lord, that you'd have your will and your way during this time. I pray for each and every one of the listeners. I pray you'd bless them for Jesus' sake, Lord. I pray the word of God would go out and find good ground, Lord. It accomplished that whereunto you sent it. Lord, we just want to take a minute, Lord, and thank you. Thank you one more time, Lord, for saving an old wretch like me. I ask you today just to lead us and guide us, Lord. I pray you'd help our love and give us faith, Lord. God, we want to thank you, Lord God, that our hope is in you. Lord, I'm glad that you're able to establish and start and finish, and Lord, you're able to accomplish your will, Father. Lord, we come and we thank you one more time. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Brother, let me make just a few quick announcements. I'd like to ask you to continue to pray for us. Pray for our children's homes, the one we have here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, one in Romania, as well as the feeding centers in Romania and Bulgaria. I would like to mention just a little bit there. Here, I guess, maybe almost 2 years now, we began trying to build a couple buildings over there, and those are just about complete. That's in Romania, and had the first service in the last building, I think it is, just this past week, and heard from the missionaries, and it's such a blessing, seeing pictures of, look like 30, 40 youngins, little kids in there, and it's just a blessing. And I want to just give an update on that, because some of you may have helped finance that and had a part in it, and it's just a wonderful thing to see. And they was able to give the youngins some clothes and some shoes and things like that, and that's a big thing. Many of them come in barefooted. One come in, had on some shoes that they'd push the backs out of so they could keep wearing them, but that's just cold and wet and muddy, and they put some new little shoes on that little girl, and she run out and left her old ones there and went and run and showed her mama. And, you know, just things that we take for granted every day. The Lord's blessing over there. But the thing I want to mention is I sure appreciate the Lord providing that building, providing the clothes, providing all that. But our greatest desire is to see the Word of God get in their hearts, and they'd get saved, born again. And I was thinking of this. I may never get to meet any of them over here because of time and distance, but I sure would like to stroll over heaven with them. So if you would, we want to ask you to partner with us in praying for these souls, and we're so thankful that the Lord is doing a big work there. And if you would, please just pray for them. I don't know their names or anything like that. We just know the missionaries and the work that they're doing. We're so thankful for them, and sure do appreciate them. One of the missionaries that's been over there many, many years come and visited with us this past couple weeks, stayed with us, been at that children's home since it was founded, and we're grateful for that. And if you would pray for them also. Then also, if you would pray for Susan and Siraj, they're over that North India home, and Brother Finney over the South India home, and just different things that's going on in both of those places, and just want to see the hand of God working in them. And I sure appreciate all of the labor of love that's went on. And if you would continue to pray for the missionaries in the Ukraine and Bulgaria and all the work that's going on there. I sure appreciate what the Lord's done there. He supplied once again the flour and oil to feed them in the churches in Bulgaria, and we're so grateful for that. That's a wonderful thing for those folks, as they don't have jobs or money this time of the year, but the Lord supplies, and we're so grateful and thankful that he's done that one more time. And we want to thank you for helping us. Thank you for praying, and you're a big part of this. All of those that listen to this broadcast weekly and pray for these folks and pray for these missionaries, and we want to take a minute and just thank you. We just want to say thank you from the bottom of our heart, and we're glad that you take the time to pray and care about the finances and things like that. But once again, please pray for the souls of these folks, and we'll thank you for that also. Now, I want to give you our mailing address this week. You can write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. And at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church. We trust it'll be a blessing to you.
In visions I saw,
in vision I saw,
the place that's called Calvary,
the place is called Calvary,
and Jesus my Lord,
and Jesus my Lord,
they're bleeding for me,
they're bleeding for me.
My faith I could see,
my faith I could see,
that great open fountain,
that great open fountain,
where sinners are washed,
where sinners are washed,
and never made free,
and never made free.
I saw them take Christ,
I saw them take Christ,
and robe him in scarlet,
and robe him in scarlet.
It seemed I could see,
it seemed I could see,
the crown that he wore,
the crown that he wore.
When reading about,
when reading about
his side that was revealed,
his side that was revealed,
I could almost feel
the pain that he bore, the pain that he bore.
The Roman made cross,
the Roman made cross,
on which he was lifted,
on which he was lifted,
was used in those days,
was used in those days, for criminals to bear,
for criminals to bear. It seemed I could hear,
it seemed I could hear,
the sound of the hammer,
the sound of the hammer.
When reading about,
when reading about
men nailing him there,
men nailing him there.
I looked for his friends,
I looked for his friends,
but they had all left him,
but they had all left him.
And one of his own,
and one of his own,
had proven untrue,
had proven untrue.
I saw all my sin,
I saw all my sin,
make greater his sorrow,
make greater his sorrow.
But nevertheless,
salvation came through,
salvation came through. I saw them take Christ,
I saw them take Christ,
and robe him in scarlet,
and robe him in scarlet.
It seemed I could see,
it seemed I could see, the crown that he wore,
the crown that he wore. When reading about,
when reading about
his side that was revealed,
his side that was revealed,
I could almost feel
the pain that he bore, the pain that he bore.
The other night when I was over in Carolina, preacher showed me the thorns over there. And I mean, they were about four inches long, the kind that they used to make a crown put on the head of Jesus. That crown of thorns, and not all that hurt him. That lashing that Pilate gave him wasn't the only thing. My sins was what he died for. And I'm glad he died for my sins. And I'm glad he rose again the third day for my justification. And I'm glad I'm justified by the grace of God and by faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing I've done, nothing you've done. It's all that. Turn to Romans chapter 4, and I'm going to preach again on faith. I mean, you think, well, you preach it all the time. Well, won't you get some of it? I mean, when you get enough and I get enough, we all get enough, I'll quit preaching on it and start preaching on something else. But I believe we need faith, because I believe we're facing some of the most horrible times that anybody's ever faced. Abraham lived in Lot's day. This morning I was preaching about Noah, and little bit about his day, but it's hard. But tonight I want to talk to you about Abraham, and he lived in Lot's day. Now, it doesn't matter what day you live in if you got faith. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are if you got faith. It doesn't matter how much the devil attacked you if you got faith. I know you'll suffer if you got faith. Now, this other crowd tells you, and I hear him telling you, if you believe God, everything's going to be, it's just going to be wonderful. That ain't the way it is in this book.
Amen.
If you believe God, you might have to suffer. You might have to go hungry. You say, I don't believe that. Read Hebrews chapter 11. Some of those folks went through all kinds of things because of their faith. Now, if you don't think you're going to go through it, just hold on. And I believe in the rapture, and I know we're going out of here when the Lord comes. But if I was you, I wouldn't try to hurry it up and get out too quick. I mean, you know, we've been preaching this business that we're going to be out of here. We won't be here when they're cutting heads off. Well, I just read in the newspaper the other day over here somewhere in Africa that doesn't cut off about 6,000, maybe 60,000. I forget which it was. But they're cutting heads off everywhere. I seen it on ABC News. They're cutting heads off because of their religion. The Muslims are doing it. And you think if they're not going to do it, they are going to do it. So you might as well get ready for it. The only thing that will help you is faith when it comes. Now, I mean, it may not save your head, but it sure save your soul if you've got faith. It may not keep your head on your shoulders, but it'll keep you, I mean, you'll be okay if you've trusted Jesus. If you've really got faith. Now, I'm not talking about this little handshaking kind of stuff that these folks say they believe in Jesus. There's nothing to that. You got to have the Holy Ghost to convict you of your sins. And you've got to be lost before you can get saved. You cannot be saved until you find out you're lost. You've got to get lost. I mean, everybody I know of that's ever got saved tells how they got lost. I mean, those that don't know nothing about getting lost, I'm afraid they never got saved. But I want to read chapter 4, Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. What shall we say that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Now look what he's found. I don't think he found anything, but I want to preach about something here. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh, it is reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now that's reading 8 verses. And thank God that Abraham got saved and he became the father of all faith. Now he didn't get saved by works and wasn't justified by works. He is justified by faith because God came by one day and said, Abraham, I want you to go with me. I'm not going to tell you where I'm taking you, but I want you to go by faith. Just take off and go. And the Bible said Abraham went not knowing. Now I praise God for that. If I know what I was doing all the time, I probably, the devil would know everything I know. But I mean, I don't know where I'm going half the time, nor what I'm doing, nor how it ever gets done. But ain't it wonderful? God does it anyhow. I praise his name tonight for what he's a-doing and how he's a-doing it. I mean, God's a-doing things that, I mean, it's impossible for man to do. Now, it's not my faith. I don't think that. It's not my faith that you're getting it done. But I'm glad somebody's believing God. I don't know who it might be, but I'm glad somebody's believing God. And I like it when God speaks to my heart and when I can believe God. I mean, it makes me feel good all over. I stood up here one day. I said, I believe that God's going to send me $10,000 to get them Bibles over yonder. And you know what? He sent $12,500. I said, that's interest on that faith that I believe God. And I believe that. I believe God will give you some interest on it. I was liking what I was talking to Carolyn today about how much money we've got in for the food over there, and it's about $13,000, somewhere close to that. Got another check in the mail coming. Maybe it's more than that, but anyhow, it's somewhere around that, and I praise God for that. And you know what I said? By next week, I told Green and them a while ago, when they go to prayer room, you pray, and I believe by my next Sunday, we'll have $20,000 in, and that'll buy a lot of flour, won't it? I mean, oh, that'll bless my heart and bless my soul and feed those people over yonder and make me feel good. Maybe I can eat a little better, because it's been hard for me to eat when them people hungry. Been hard for me to put my shoes on of a morning and think about those preachers over there that are wearing them old shoes like they wear, and I'm over here wearing good shoes and got whole closet full of shoes. And I want to tell you right now, I praise God. I mean, I got saved. I had second-handed shoes on. But I'm glad that God has got me and blessed me and done for me. And I just praise His name for what He's doing. And it's not because I'm anything, but I just believe one day that God had saved me. I believed in Him one day at an old-fashioned altar. I said, Lord, save me. I'm going to hell. And the fellow told me if I'd believe it, he'd do it. And I did. And he did. And I'm saved. 57 years, nearly 58 now. And I've been saved. Boy, I tell you, that's wonderful. I mean, it really is. It's great. I mean, it's great then to be able to be saved that long and remember all about it. It's just like yesterday. I mean, just like it just happened. Boy, it feels good yet. No, I never had nothing happen to me 58 years ago to feel like it does in my heart today. I mean, I don't remember what happened 58 years ago, except I got saved. I mean, I got saved on a Thursday morning, about 11:45. I remember nothing about nothing else. Isn't that wonderful? I hope if I ever get down to the place I don't have no mind at all, I mean, I hope I'll never forget that. I want to be able to go out of here saying, yeah, I got saved on Thursday morning about 11:45, El Crivo Baptist Church on the left-hand side of the altar from where I'm standing. I hope I can remember that. But the Bible said Abraham was not justified by works. Now, you're not justified by giving your money, and you're not justified by coming to church, and you're not justified by doing a lot of things. You got justified by Jesus Christ, by trusting Him, by believing in Him, by accepting Him, and you did get justified. Now, you need to believe that. I mean, just as though you'd never sinned. That's what it is. Boy, ain't you glad tonight? I mean, listen, son, you've got something better than anything the world's got today. No matter which way you fall, you're going to get upright. Oh, I mean, I hear these preachers say, boy, you got to live right to die right. And bless God, I tell you right now, I'm going to die right. I don't care to which way I live. In fact, I'm not dying. The part of me that's going to heaven, that's going to be chained. I'm not going to die. I mean, the Lord is going to come like He did to that rich man in Lazarus. He got old Lazarus, sent the angels down here and got him. I'm looking for the same crowd. You say, well, I don't believe that. I don't care what you believe. I ain't preaching what you believe. I preach what I believe. Because I like my belief better than I do a lot of fellas I run up on. I hear these fellas tell me what all that God won't do. I like to tell what God can do. I'm not interested in what God won't do. I'm interested in what God will do. I'm liking what God can do. And I'm liking what God has already done. I mean, I like what He's already done. And I like all the things He's doing. But what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now, I mean, if God will mark it down, He's righteous because He believes, and that's what He does. You're not righteous because you live right. You live right because you're saved. That's what makes you live right. I mean, if you're living right, but I don't know too many folks that is. I mean, I don't know too many folks got any faith, tell you the truth. I don't know too many folks that's got much of anything. And I'm talking to the best church I know of. See, I think y'all are the best. But I think you could improve. Every once in a while, I'll have one of my churchmen, one of the best, will come by and say, "Well, I don't know if God can do that." I want to slap him in the face with a squirrel. Honey, I mean, I don't care what you don't know. God can do it.
Amen. Amen.
If you'll believe him, he will do
it.
Amen. And I mean, he ain't going to do no foolish stuff. God will do right.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now, God's able to do anything I can ask him or even think about asking. I can't ask everything God can do. I can't even think everything God can do. In fact, most of the time he does it before I even think about it.
Amen.
I don't have to do much thinking. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God for that. If I did, I'd never make it. Because I'm not much of a thinker. But the other night when we started this drive, first to last month, for that food over yonder, and Rose Emma brought me that check for $700, half of it going to the children's home, half for missions. I said, put $500 to it, and $50 to it, and let's just give them 2 tons of flour. And come over here, and I sat down in that chair, and the Lord said, "You'll let the church give a couple of tons." I thought, man, that's good. I hadn't even thought of it. God does the thinking. I got up and done that, and the first thing I noticed, Ricky's up here crying, saying, "I don't give a ton of two of flour," so whatever. I thought, man, ain't that one. And the next thing I know, the pans is full. Nobody taking offered. Ain't God wonderful?
Amen.
I mean, I didn't even think about how to do it. He just hauled off and does it.
Amen.
And then I look and say, boy, ain't that wonderful. You say, wasn't that your faith? No, not really. I don't know whose faith. I don't know if you have to have, I don't know sometimes when we ain't got no faith, God just believes for us, you know. I mean, he'll just say, well, that poor folks sitting down out there are dumbs, and they're just dummies, that's all. And they don't know that I can do it, and they don't even ask me to do it. They don't even ask me to do it. They don't know what I can do, and they just grumble. That's what some of them do. Well, I don't think you do, but I don't hear any of it because I ain't ever around you much. Ain't that wonderful? So I don't have to know what you're doing. I couldn't tell nothing about none of you. I mean, I can't criticize you because I don't hear you, don't see you, not around you much. Oh, you say you ain't much of a pastor. Pretty good and stay out of your way, don't I? I don't run you down and see what you're into. I'm going to check up on you. Shucks, man, if God can't handle you, I ain't going to try. No. And if he loves you, I ought to love you. I've always said this, and folks say, boy, I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't help them people, or I wouldn't help this crowd, or I wouldn't help that. I said, well, if God loves them good enough to do it, buddy, I think I ought to love them too. I don't want to try to be bigger than God. If God can love somebody, and I can't love him, I want to tell you right now, that makes me feel bad. I'd like to be a little bit like God anyhow. If he loves them good enough to give his son, I ought to love them good enough to give whatever I can.
Amen.
To whoever I can for whatever purpose. What saith the scripture? Well, you ought to read what it says. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now him that worketh not, now listen, but to him that worketh, it's a reward not reckoned of debt, grace but of debt. Now if you're working for something, you don't get it by grace, you're getting paid for it. But God is not interested in you working for him for pay. He wants to give it to you. Now, if God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, he won't withhold nothing. I mean, if God loves you good enough to give his son, you don't have to get him and beat your brains out to try to get God to bless you. Lord God, he's waiting to give you some more.
Amen.
I mean, if somebody loves you good enough to save you, give his son to die for you, there's nothing he wouldn't give you.
Amen.
He doesn't give the best.
Amen.
Well, God won't do it for me because I ain't living right. He knew you wouldn't. He knew you was going to be sorry for the beginning of this thing. He knew everything. I don't mean you're predestinated. No, don't believe you're chosen to do wrong. But he knows from the beginning. Well, he knew everything I'd ever do. And he still called me to preach. He knew everything every time I'd mess up, still called me. And still saved me. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, he knows everything. He knows how I'm going to wind up. He still loves me. And he still cares for me. And he still helps me. Oh, Lord, I just wish I could get a little bit of what he is in me, you know? I mean, I know he's in there, but I just want him to come out. But to him that worketh not. Now, I'm not talking about public works. And I'm not talking about you sitting around not doing nothing. Now, you hear, listen to what I'm saying. I'm not talking about manual labor right now. Because if I said to him that worketh not, but believeth, some of you say, well, praise God. I'm just going to sit and believe God. That ain't what he's talking about. Because he said, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. If you're too sorry and lazy to work, bless God, listen, you're too sorry to believe God. Bible said, on old James, and I know he's talking to Israel, he said, faith without works is dead. And I believe that. If you've got faith, buddy, it'll make you get up and do something. I mean, if you've got faith, you can. You get up and try it. I mean, if you ain't got no faith, you'll sit around and starve to death. Amen. Then God didn't do it. Well, he didn't do it because you didn't believe him. Amen. But God will put, he'll put the skids under you if you get on with it. You believe God. Now, but I'm talking about salvation. We're talking about salvation. This work business of salvation. God never expected you to do anything to pay him for anything that he done for you. He gave his only begotten son. He didn't owe him. You don't owe him nothing for giving him to you. You say, but preacher, don't you think we ought to do something for him? Man, you ought to do it all for him. And Ricky's teaching in there this morning in the book of Acts. That early church got filled with the Holy Ghost and they gave everything they had away. And they didn't think anything was theirs. That quietened you down. But that's what it said. That's the reason some of you are scared to get filled with the Holy Ghost for you'll have to give everything away, honey. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. If I have some of you as poor as you are and as poor as I am, I wouldn't worry about it. I'd just go ahead and give it to him. What a little bit I got. And then you'll enjoy it. Because every one of them thought, well, he needs as much as I need it. And he needs as much as I. See, we're all in the same body. And they all was one. Oh, wouldn't it be good to have a church that everybody thought he is as important as I am? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be great to have a church that everybody thought, Lord, there's nothing about me, but it's all them. I mean, you know, I like what they're doing more than I like what I'm doing. Now, I'll tell you right now, we need some love in our churches. But to him that worketh not but believeth on him that justifieth, oh, thank God for that. Justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted. And that's all he counts. God's got your hairs numbered, but he's counting your faith. I mean, your faith is what he counts, and that's all he counts. Bible said even... But to him that worketh not but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now you can tell whether a man's righteous or not by how much faith he has, the kind of faith he has, or whether he's got any faith or not. He never got righteous by anything you do. Your acts, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's what it's saying. After we're saved, just as well as before we're saved. Your righteousness, no time, is any good. Filthy, dirty rags. I mean rotten rags. That's what our righteousness is. Filthy rags. Not just dirty rags, but filthy rags. That's what it says. That's the way your righteousness and mine is. But you know what? When you believe God, it's faith, and he's the one who gave it to you.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.